Blog Talk Radio.
Friday morning for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com. Or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, 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 my sisters and my brothers. Well, I'm excited, excited, excited about the show today. Well, happy Friday to each and every one of you. Want to welcome the guests in the chat room. Welcome to those on the switchboard. I know this is going to be a hot call today, this morning. We got an awesome, awesome guest for you. We're going to tell you a little bit more about her. But keep your dial locked right here to this station because you do not want to miss the interview with this person. When I say young, there's no pun intended, okay? This is a young, I'm talking about sophomore, y'all, 10th grade, high school, hasn't even gotten out of high school yet. Well, she's going to be coming to the show shortly, so don't go away. We have some other things that we want to share with you this morning. It's just been a great week, all week, and I know you've been having a great time because you've learned how to release your power, and that means that you get to turn around any situation. You see, that's the, I tell you, we're just getting into the middle of the month of July. Our book, Release Your Power, has been the featured book for the Women's Empowerment Book Club. If you're not a member, join the book club. They got some hot books coming. They've been doing some powerful books all month, all year long, starting with Nobody's Business and The Cry of a Woman's Heart. You're dealing with the issues that a lot of women have faced or are facing but don't want to say anything or can't, sometimes can't say anything. Well, but you got to let it out. If you want to go to your next level, if you want to go to your destiny, if you want to really see your life explode and just be fulfilled with nothing but the things that God has promised you, greatness, abundance, joy, want to see these things released in your life, you got to let it go. So it's been some great authors, and this month we've been talking all month about releasing your power. That's the power that is within you that God put there, and now it's yours. Okay, if somebody gives you something, then it's yours. It's for you to use. And that's, if I gave you $1 million, I bet you wouldn't have no problem using it. So God has given you this power, then you got to get away from the problem of not using it. And so this just fits so nicely with my guest coming on today. She's released her power, 10th grade. 10th grade, wrote a book. I mean, listen, just doing it, talking about doing it big. She in high school, you know. And if we can have other people like the Beyoncés and the Jennifer Hudsons and the what have you of the world releasing their power, well, you, listen, we got to celebrate a young person like that that would write a book in a time where they want to say that, you know, our children don't like to read and kids are spending too much time on Facebook and video and all these other things and games when they should be reading, which is going to help them academically. It's going to help them educationally, which will ultimately help them when it's time for them to get employed. For you parents, I know that's important. When your children are gainfully employed, it's cute to have an unemployed child when the kid is anywhere from infancy up to about age 17. But after that, it is no longer cute. You need to be, we want to see these adults that are working. It looks good on a person. The Bible says if a man works hard all day, he'll sleep good at night. And my mother, one of her favorite sayings in my house, my mother and my grandmother did live with us, so I don't know who started it, but you know how you got mother and daughter living together. As such as they did, they were always talking, but my mother almost never let a day go by from the time we became teenagers, and so maybe around 13 or so, because, you know, mothers aren't stupid. They can see which road their children are trying to head down. So she knew with the crew she had, she let us know every day that if a man don't work, neither shall he eat. And so, you know, sometimes I look at the jobs that we have, me and my siblings, and how long we've all worked. I say, no wonder we were scared straight, I should say, because one thing we had loved to do was eat. And so when she told us that, if you don't work, you don't eat. And I remember her saying that like almost every day as she was going out to her job, you know. It wasn't like she was sitting on the couch, laying in the bed, talking about if you don't work, you don't eat. No, she was getting up, going to work every day. And so maybe that's something people need to start back saying in their household. Let your children know, if you don't work, you don't eat. And start telling them that young so they can get it in their mindsets. Well, here's a young girl, 10. I'm sorry, not 10, but in the 10th grade, just a sophomore. And she's working hard. She's an author. She travels. She obviously speaks on the topic of her book, which you're going to find out about in just a short minute, as soon as she comes to the airwaves. For many of you know, this is the Coach Lalisa Show. We're on the air Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., right here on Blog Talk Radio, which the show is recorded in the archives. For those who cannot listen during that time, you can always go back and listen to the archive. It is there shortly after the show ends, 5 minutes or so, and it is there, well, so far permanently. We never know what Blog Talk will do, but for now, the show is there in archives. You can download it. You can post it on your site if you want to share the show with someone, you know. Now, you can't do that like with BLS. If I'm listening to WBLS and I hear something good on there, I can't say, okay, I'm going to download this and give it to someone else. that could be even in another part of the country or part of the world. But with this internet radio, you can do that. So that's the beauty and the power of it. You can take one of the links and let, maybe there will be a show that inspired you or motivated you, and you believe it will motivate and inspire someone. It could be a family member, could be a neighbor, could be a coworker, could be someone in your church family or other houses of worship that you may attend. Well, this is Friday, and I tell you, we've been having a great time all week long. We've been dealing with the social media release, the social media tour that was released on Tuesday. And so this Tuesday, please go to my meetup page. That's meetup.com/releaseyourpower. Make a comment. Let me know you came to the page. Go to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/LaLisaWilliams. And there's a post there about the media tour. There's a video there about 5 ways to live the fulfilled life. There's also a clip there, some other clips. So go there, make some comments. Go to Facebook, Twitter, and I'm telling you, we are getting the word out that people can change their life. You do not have to stay stuck. You do not have, you know, stuck in a rut. Some people get stuck in a rut. Well, we're here to let you know you can get out of your rut. You really can. You can get right out. And again, like I said, right here, we're committed every day to showing you how. Remember, a setback is a setup for a comeback. So no matter what may have happened to you, guess what? You can get out of that and you can get over it. So just keep listening. Don't go away, because we got an awesome person coming to the show. I can't wait for her to get here and talk with her about her book and about her work. Also, for those of you, I want to just talk for a minute about my new book that's coming out by the end of August. I probably should have 3 or 4 books out, like coming out, like launching a book every week. I'm working on, believe it or not, about 4 or 5 books. Can you believe it? How does a high school dropout that was like in the dunce seat of the class, not smart, not bright, just, you know, God is amazing. And how does this person go from that to, you know, being able to not only release 1 book or 2 books, but 4 or 5? I didn't ask for this assignment, you see. It's an assignment that, you know, God has called me to. But he kept giving me these titles. I didn't know what to do with them but write them down. So another one, How to Create a Dream Job in a Nightmare Economy. And that book is for right now, and it will be for people 10 years from now, 20 years from now, because, yes, it's like a nightmare economy now. It's a nightmare, y'all. Trust me, it is. We're going to a job fair next week in New York, Long Island. There will be a job fair at the Millville Marriott. And I'm taking a group of people who are looking for jobs over there. But I have a job, per se. But I'm going just to see how many people are going to show up. Now, I'm not getting in no stampedes now. Trust me, I'm not trying to lose my life over it. But I am really curious how many people are going to come to this job fair. The last 2 job fairs that I've been to over the past 6 months, they were overwhelmingly packed. We went to one at the New Jersey City University. That was so crowded that they had to shut it down and make everyone that was in the room leave before they could continue letting people in. Now, I've been doing job fairs, like, almost straight since 1997. I believe I began going to job fairs around 1997, mostly because of the jobs I've held, either working as a recruiter or working as a job developer, helping to get people jobs. So I've been attending them, and I've never seen a job fair do that. I've been to a lot of job fairs. I've never seen them have to stop, let everyone out, and then bring more, because the room capacity could not hold what had shown up. They had anticipated X amount of people coming, but they got three times more at a job fair. And so maybe that's an indication for you event doers. You want to do a big event, do a job fair. It's going to be packed. Now, the other thing is, the other job fair was huge, humongous. It was so packed, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, this is a nightmare economy. All kinds of people are out of work. I was talking to another person that said that they're interviewing and hiring people with master's degrees to read the meter. So how do you find your dream job in an economy like this? And I don't know if any of you saw on the news last evening. On the news, there was down in Dallas, Texas, they showed a crowd of people running. I'm telling you, you know how the media can do, so they just give you a little teaser, right? So they show the clip of all these people running. Now, you would think they were running for, I don't know, a free Mercedes. I don't know, maybe running to get into a Who concert or Lil Wayne or something. I don't know. But they were flying. I know some of you saw this on the news last night. And the news, when the news finally did come back to tell us where these people were running to, believe it or not, they were running to sign up for Section 8. Yeah, for those of you who don't know what Section 8 is, it's low-income housing. It's for people who can't afford the regular rent that landlords charge. And so this helps them out because their income is low and they need, you know, you don't want to have your rent is only supposed to be a quarter of what you make in the month, quarter whatever your income is. That's what your rent is supposed to be. But most people, it's the opposite. Some people's rent is three quarters over what their income is, and therefore they have to do all these other things to help pay the rent. They can't do it based on, you know, their income as it was. But these people were running, and if I'm not mistaken, people were stampede. I don't know if they said eight people actually passed away or if eight people were injured, but it was not good. It was not good. The outcome was not good. And to see those people running like that just solidifies for me that this is the prime time for a book such as How to Create a Dream Job in a Nightmare Economy. And so you'll be able to get that book. You can pre-order the books now. There is a link on my Facebook page, and I will get all these books linked onto my website before the weekend is over. But, you know, but there is still hope. There is still hope, and that's what the book is about. The book is offering hope. It will show you how to get that dream job, regardless of the fact that this is a nightmare economy, and that it is. And even though it's the nightmare economy, I just started this new job just 3 months ago, and it is my dream job. So you can still get your dream job in a nightmare economy. But there are some things that you have to do in order. So, you know, there are things you have to do. Like you have to position yourself. You have to be preparing yourself. And you have today. They've always talked about networking, and if you're familiar with that term, they've always talked about networking. Well, let me tell you, networking today, yes, okay, let's see here. We got here in the chat room. We want to welcome you in the chat room. We want to get to some of your comments. And if you'd like to make a comment, you would just need to sign up for a free page on Blog Talk Radio. You don't have to do a radio show to get a page, and therefore you'd be able to make comments too. But I do want to address some of the comments here. And starting out with, we don't need education to tell us who or what we are. You know, we don't need education to show us anything. Everything is within us, and this is true. In addition, the government is always cutting budget for education first and foremost. And educated people is what they want the least of. And how sad is that? Yeah, but education is what we need the most of, because he said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And so we need education, whether we get it online, whether we go to the library, whether we learn it from Aunt Sue, it doesn't matter, Grandpa, whoever. But you're right, we absolutely, definitely need it. But yes. So you're absolutely right. And then it's right, the nightmare economy. The news is a terror implant, yes, to keep people small and fearful. What was the forum that the people were running for? Yeah, they were running for Section 8. Section 8. S-E-C-T-I-O-N, Section 8. And that is, yes, for low-income housing, for people who possibly can't afford to live, cannot afford to pay rent. People sometimes on public assistance, and sometimes it's people who just don't make enough money to cover the rent. And so this is what is going on. And so as soon as our guest gets to the line, I will check to see if Ms. Cambry is with us. Our guest is going to come and tell us about her awesome, awesome book. So make sure you don't go away. But this is Friday, fantastic Friday right here on the Coach Lalisa Show. And this is Coach Lalisa, the author of Release Your Power. And we have people releasing their power all over the place. We want to give a shout out to Ms. Patricia Martin. And she is our scheduler for the show and brings us these awesome, awesome dynamic people. You know, just a few days ago, we had Ms. Debbie Johnson on. She's also the publicist for our awesome, awesome guest. Can't wait to talk to our guest and see. So let me just open this phone line and see if this is her. Good morning. You're on the air with Coach Lalisa. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. Area code 813. Yes, good morning. Area code 813. Okay, no one there. So let's go back to this call here. Good morning. You're on the air with Coach Lalisa.
Good morning. This is Camry Moore.
Okay, Camry, it is you. I wasn't sure. I know they said possibly you wouldn't be able to get on till 7:30.
Oh, no. I'm here.
Okay, all right. Well, do you have school today?
No, it's summer.
Oh, that's right, it's summer. Forgive me. I don't know. I guess I'm thinking kids go to school all year, right?
Oh, no.
I thought kids wanted that. No, anyway, I know you guys just love school so much. Well, Camry, it is such my honor and pleasure. So let me just introduce you to everyone. Yes, welcome. I want everyone to help me welcome to the show, Camry. I just need to, let me just read some of your bio here, if I can get a chance to. I was on that page and then I got off that page, and so it may take me a minute to get back to. I was on that page with your awesome, awesome bio. Well, let me just share what I can say about you. Well, your name is Camry Moore. Welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show, everyone. Camry is a teen author. She's in the 10th grade. She wrote a book, and the book is about this young lady. I believe her name is Sunny.
Right.
The book is about a young lady who is experiencing, you know, some situations in her life. She meets a guy, I guess, and she, you know, as young people would say, I don't know what young people say, but I know what old people say. I know what old people say because I'm old. But she meets this guy, and she, I guess, kind of falls head over heels for him. And gets really into him or whatever, and only to find out that he's not so into her. Well, that can happen. We feel bad for these poor little girls that do that. But but she's musically talented, the girl in the story. But I'm going to let you talk about that. But Camry Moore, just 15 years old, a sophomore. She's also an honor student. And that says a lot right there, to be in such a young grade and to be an honor student at the Hillsborough High School in Tampa, Florida.
Right.
She was born. Yeah, God bless you. She was born in 1995 to Earl and Sherry Moore. She's the youngest of five children. She began writing short stories and poems in the fifth grade at the very, very early age of just 9 years old. And even at that young age, she was able to write incredibly descriptive stories. Her teachers, family members, and friends were amazed at her gift to pull readers in with her writing. She prides herself in being spiritually and morally grounded and hopes to be an inspiration for her generation and many, many more to come. And I say you are an inspiration. I believe not only to your generation, but to my generation too.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you are welcome. You can book her for a meet and greet. You can book her for a signing at your school or your church or your place of business. You can, for more information, you can contact 813-504-4507. This is 813-504-4507. And for those of you who had tuned into the show on Tuesday, I believe, no, Monday, I think it was, we had her publicist was also on the show with us. Awesome, awesome Miss Debbie Johnson. So let's talk now with Camry Moore and about her awesome book. Okay, so Camry, is this your first book?
Yes, it is. It's my first book. I've only written short stories and just short stories and essays and stuff for class, but I've never actually written an entire book. But yes, this is my first one.
And how does it feel?
It feels great. It just feels great. And I've already started working on another one. It's a big accomplishment, I think. It feels good for me.
So tell me, how does a 15-year-old write a book, and how did you do it? Tell us.
It took a lot of hard work. It took turning off TV and putting everything aside and getting on the computer and just passing away. But it wasn't difficult for me because it's what I've always loved doing. And especially when I had the words to say it, go along with the storyline, whatever. Sometimes I would get blocked. But when I was like fully like ready and I had everything in place, like towards the end, when I only had a few key points to go over, I just go down a bullet list and all I have to do is fill in the details between each scene or whatever for the book, and that kind of made it a lot easier for me. So it wasn't a whole process until the end. The end, it became a lot more structured.
Okay, and what, now your book, tell us a little bit about, you know, what your book is about and what impact you hope it will have on this generation that you said you want to impact.
Okay, it's a fiction. It's not about me. It happens to a lot of girls though in real life. It's about a girl who, she starts dating this guy and they've been together for a while and she trusts him completely with everything and he pushes her to the side. He's obviously not as into her as she is into him, like you said. And he just totally breaks her heart. He breaks up with her abruptly and harshly. He just breaks her heart and she loses her way and her beliefs and her desires and everything for her music, like you said, and everything. So, yeah, she kind of just loses herself. She doesn't know who she is anymore. She pushes her friends and family to the side. And then she meets another guy who's kind of like the hero type person. And he's been through a lot of things a lot more painful than just a bad romance, you know what I mean? And he just shows her how to smile and be happy in spite of what she's gone through.
Awesome.
Thank you. I hope that girls, when they're reading it, they'll learn that you shouldn't center everything around a guy. It's a human being in general. You shouldn't center everything around a human being because humans are bound to fail you at one point. So the only thing that you should ever center everything around is God. He's the only person who can fail you. And I also talk about God in the book and everything. So that's what I hope they will get from it, because it's dangerous to center all your joy and happiness around something human and flesh, because it's not, you can't always depend on it to keep you up on your feet. It'll let you down sometimes.
And Cameron, you're 15, I'm 55. So that's a big span of age right there, you know, between us. And I've seen, you know, I remember being 15. I remember girls doing the same thing that they're doing today, regardless of the technology and everything else that we have. They are still going down that road. Do you think that when this happens, when girls, you know, put their whole world into a boy, especially at such a young age, they neglect mm-hmm. homework, they neglect schoolwork, they neglect, because I did it. I was that was me, just that I didn't have the hero until I was 33 when I met my husband.
Right.
So I spent from, you know, like 15 up until 30, so that's like 15 years of the first guy that you talked about. It wasn't one. It was, you know, multiple people like that who were no good eventually dumped me, or I had to dump them to get
right.
my life, you know. And so I'm just wondering, when do you think that young people will actually get the message that is that, like, will they really be able to put aside what causes them to want to sacrifice everything? I remember in an old Good Times sitcom,
uh-huh.
one of the sitcoms, you know, back in the 70s.
Yes, ma'am.
And I remember there was a scene where there was a girl who JJ was dating. She was pregnant. And she was at the house and everything. They thought it was JJ's for a while, but then it wasn't. But then Thelma was telling the girl, I would never, you know, go that far with a guy, this and this and that, you know, no guy is worth that, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then the girl says to Thelma, I'll never forget it. Now, as old as I am, I saw that show when I was like your age. But it made such a huge impact on me. The girl says, well, yeah, Thelma, I was like that too. And then one day I met so-and-so-and-so, and boom, just what she said, and boom, like everything mm-hmm. I, you know, worked for and thought about and wanted was just gone, because there this kind of boom guy came. So what do you think about that? Girls who are on the right track, doing well, but then their boom shows up.
I mean, there's a good boom and a bad boom, I think. I guess you should try to recognize between what's bad for you and what's good for you. If it's a good kind of boom, then you just have to prioritize yourself, like with your work and your school and your relationships, with anything, really, even if, yeah, you have to prioritize yourself, and if it's a bad boom, then you should just recognize it and get rid of it immediately, because it can only put you on the wrong track. It can only put you on that track, on a bad path. So, yeah.
Okay, so good. Okay, so maybe that's a good seminar topic. How to recognize a good boom and a bad boom. Because that's, you know, it just seems that I work around, you know, a lot of young people, and they just really, I guess they really need your book desperately, because they really don't seem to have a clue. I haven't met that many of them. I haven't met that many of them with the good booms.
All right.
I'm meeting a lot of them with the bad booms, and it's causing them to have low grades, causing them to miss out, you know, many of them dropping out of high school, and even the ones who graduate. They graduate with such low scores that they end up going to college and having to take a year of remedial classes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So are you seeing some of the same things? I mean, you're an honor student, obviously not amongst, I guess, your immediate peers. But what do you see down there in Tampa in terms of the choices that the young girls are making?
It's not good. You definitely see a lot of young pregnant teens and teenagers. You know, like the girl in the book, they wrap themselves around a guy. They wrap their lives and their happiness and everything around a guy. And, but it's common in Tampa because there aren't any youth programs here, like, at all to get people away, from that kind of thing. So.
Gotcha. That's good. You said there's not a lot of the youth programs to keep them busy in the activities. So is that something that one day you would want to be a part of in terms of going around the country or the world, if for that matter? Because I mean, a lot of people talk about no youth programs, but you know, we need people to talk about starting them.
Right. Yeah. Of course, I definitely want to do something. But before I go around the world, I would definitely want to start from where I'm from. In Tampa and do something here because we need it. We need it desperately. And me and my mom are my mom and I are always talking about it, but we're trying to get something set up where teenagers will actually be interested in it, because you can't just throw something out there that teenagers don't even like to do, and then they won't come. So we've been trying to come up with some ideas, but haven't gotten anything set in stone yet.
So how are they responding to the book in terms of you being their peer, being a teen, being this author? You got a book that is a story. And some people, they like stories. So how is that working out?
I've gotten a lot of good feedback on it, definitely. People have really liked it, and people have been inspired, which makes me happy. A lot of... Like I said, there's not a lot of youth programs. A lot of teenagers don't read. A lot of teenagers don't read at all. But the people that I have talked to from here that have the book, they told me that it's really inspired them. And some of them told me they've gone through the same thing and everything. So it's going well. People are accepting it. And I hope they're really learning from it as they're reading it. But they're
I think they will. I think young people, when they meet you. You sound like a delightful young lady, and when they meet you and when they, hear you talk about the characters in the book and talk about some of the scenarios, and so now this relationship, this bad relationship thing, okay, you said the story is not about you, but have you had some kind of experience like that or close to it? Not that somebody has mistreated you and dumped you, but the fact that you met someone and you thought about, wow, he's all that.
Right. I've had crushes and stuff, but it's never gotten to a point where I was dating them and they weren't into me. Like, I would find out before, and I mean, you can tell if a guy is into you. So, if I was into somebody and they didn't like me, then I kind of just got over it. I didn't like to stay on person that wasn't into me like I was into them, because I know how that ends.
Kind of like stuck on stupid, right, and getting dumber.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know.
So how do you, I heard you say something. I want to just go back to that for a minute. Yeah, how can you tell that a guy really isn't into you? What's your secret to that?
Well, I mean, it's just a universal thing. If a guy is into you, he'll talk to you. He'll take the time to talk to you, he'll compliment you, that kind of thing. But if he's not, then he just won't. You know what I mean? It's just like these days at least. Like, if somebody's into you, they just won't talk to you that way. They won't deal with you in that way. But if they are, they'll flirt and, make you laugh, compliment you, and that kind of thing. But if they don't do all that, they don't even acknowledge you, then you're just not there. They're not into you. So,
okay. All right. And then so you always got those guys out there who know how to do all that in the beginning until they get what they want, and then they dump you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys have a lot on your plate to deal with. Then you got to manage school. Boy, you got to
be careful.
You teenagers got a lot. So you got to deal with all that. So how do you balance your school, your honor student, and congratulations on being an honor student and working hard down there at the Hillsboro High. I guess they're just as proud as they can be of you having an author right there amongst them. Are there any other authors at your school?
No, not teenagers that I know of. Maybe they're hiding. Maybe they have a pseudonym or something. But not that I know of. I know some teachers that have written books, but not teenagers.
Oh, the students. Wow, so that must be really cool. And then, of course, congratulations to your parents and all the other people that are have you know poured into making you what you are. It sounds like you have an incredible, incredible life ahead of you.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I've never met you face-to-face. I'm just meeting you for the first time when Patricia told me about you and that, you know, she wanted you to come on the show. And I said, oh, wonderful. We know I'm part of another book club that they just started, a youth chapter of this Women's Empowerment Book Club. Not sure if you're familiar with them. They're on Facebook.
Yeah.
But, there's just so many opportunities out there, and I'm glad that you're taking advantage of them. I think that you're going to be a great, great, great role model to young people, and so we just pray that, you know, God continues to open up every single door where you can go and let people know that they don't have to neglect their dreams. You said this is something you always like doing. You always wanted to do, right? You've been writing since you were 9. So tell us about a little bit about that. What was it like when you wrote your first, what did you write your first story about, if you can share that? And what was your parents' reaction to it, or your reaction to it?
The first real, actual, official short story I wrote was called Because I Said So. And I don't want to talk too much on it because I'm going to turn it into a whole book, but I was in eighth grade. I had written some before that, but I didn't let my parents read the ones that I wrote before, so I'm not going to go over those, but because I said it wasn't like that, it was just, it was on the subject of rape and abuse. But it wasn't about me. It wasn't about me. It was fiction. And I wrote it in eighth grade, and I let my mom read it, and she freaked out. She didn't know what was going on with me, but she was literally scared. And then I let my teachers read some and everything, and even when my mom would come to the parent-teacher conference, they didn't even want to talk to her about my grades. They just wanted to talk to her about what was going on with me because I wrote this story about rape.
Wow.
yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they were really worried, but after I told them that, they couldn't believe that someone so young like me, I was in eighth grade, could write something about rape and not actually be going through it, you know what I mean? So people were really worried about me, but I had to tell them that it was just a gift that I got, and I've always loved to write it. It comes from reading other stuff and watching movies and everything, and they got the answers. So, yeah, that was my first little one.
Oh, so you read. So you said you like to read, and we hear people say they like to read, especially for youth. So how many books do you read a day or a week or a month, would you say?
When it's Twilight books, when I was reading Twilight books, I used to read a one whole 789-page Twilight book in like 3 days during the school year because I never stopped reading them. I read them in class. My teachers would be mad at me because I'm reading them during class while they're teaching. I read a lot, I guess.
Wow. And so you were an honor student and you were reading that. It's so cool. And so what was your, you said you were reading, you read these 700 to 800 page books. Wow, in 3 days. That's great. So where do you think your love of reading came from? Where do you think that came from?
It honestly didn't all start. I just didn't like always read my whole life. I think it started when I started writing. It started around the same time that I started writing because I was writing, but I knew that if I didn't breathe, then I couldn't get anything. I couldn't write my own thing. I couldn't do it myself if I didn't read something. You know what I mean? Like I couldn't grab inspiration. I had to grab inspiration from somewhere else, from books, all the books that I read, and that would help me to.
Awesome. That's going to help somebody who wants to write. You want to write, get inspired, read lots of books. I mean, I hear them say that all the time. And, wow, you really are awesome. Now, tell me, how long did it take you to write The Sun in Her Eyes?
Took me 2 years, 3 whole years.
Now, is that because of school and your other academic obligations? And
partly. And when I started in eighth grade, and it was going to be a short story at first, so I wrote the prologue, the first part, and I wrote a few more pages, and then I just stopped because I was like, I don't know where this is going to go. So I just started reading. I started reading again, and then I became inspired by it again, and I went back to it. And that's when I went back to it, and I think eighth grade summer, I think I went back to it, and yeah, that's how I started again.
And how many pages is the book?
It's 300 pages.
300?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. So you got a nice little... Wow, a 10th grader, y'all, writing 300 pages. Well, I can't wait to read The Sun in Her Eyes. And I know you can't... I can't wait to read this book now. And I know you can't wait to read it. Those of you who are tuned in, and we thank you so much for tuning in and being with us on the show today. You're listening to my interview with Ms. Camry Moore. Did I say your name right?
Yes, ma'am, you did.
Okay, Camry. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'd just like to say one more thing. When we were talking about youth and the youth clubs or whatever that we should have, I've already started on something, actually, because I have a website. It's called TooYoungForLove.com. You can pretty much spell it any way and it'll come up, but usually it's spelled the number 2 young and the number 4 and LUV.com. And where I write a bunch of blogs and stuff, and I have a poet on there. We write about things that teens go through, like depression and weight gain and weight loss and relationships and bad influences, positive influences, that kind of thing. And we write on those subjects. And we get teens coming in, they comment on the subject and stuff, and we like literally talk to each other about these kind of things. And I'm going to start featuring teens on there, like teens who are working, and like I have a friend named Ivan, and he's 16, and he has a computer business. He fixes computers and laptops and builds them up from start and everything. So I'm going to feature him on there, and we're going to advertise them, you know what I mean? Put them out there for other people to get a hold of them. So we can. I'm just trying to lift people as I go up. Just my peers as well.
I'm on there. I'm on that blog, and very, very nice. I'm looking at a couple of the stories in the Let's Talk, for instance. There's one. I see something that says Let's Get Featured. And so I do what you're just talking about. And so if you have a talent or success story that you want to share with Ms. Camry, also I see one article looks very interesting. Saggy Pants Law Passed in Florida. What's your take? That's good. So you got a lot of comments on that, I bet. A lot of people want to weigh in on that. And my best friend's boyfriend flirted with me. That sounds interesting, but you need to get one up there. My best friend flirted with my boyfriend. No, I'm just kidding. But, you can get some comments on that one. But that's for us adults, too. Too much of that going on. But you are absolutely adorable. I'm looking at your picture. God bless you and all the work you're doing. I see you got some other comments and some topics over here that people have put on your blog. Very, very nice. A 10th grader with a blog already. The TooYoungForLove.com. TooYoungForLove. So that is Wonderful, wonderful. And you're connected with all the major social media sites, and you're doing it. You're definitely releasing your power. You're not holding back. We see that you've been in the news, and as you should be, 10th grade, writing such a powerful novel. So, yes, they should be definitely writing about you. And so you have any other information that you want to share before you have to go? I mean, the show is going to be on air for another 9 minutes or so. You're welcome to continue talking with me, but I don't want to hold you up if you had something else to go and do.
I just want to tell everyone that the book is on the website, Too Young for Love. You can get it through there. And it's also on Amazon.com.
Yeah, I see you have about, on one of these pages I saw, maybe that was your Facebook page, I saw there were about at least 6 to 7 different links that a person could connect with you, they can follow you, they can connect with you, they can get the book. The addiction that pollutes girls' hearts. Oh, okay. I see you have that posted on your site. Now, what do you plan to be when you grow up?
I'm going to be a cardiologist.
You're going to be a what?
Cardiologist.
Okay, a cardiologist. Now, as far as I know, that is like somebody that deals with the heart, like a heart surgeon or something.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Okay, see, I watch my soap operas, you know. But back in the day, I don't watch it anymore. But so a cardiologist, so here you are, and so are the sales from the book, is that to fund your degree, your education?
That wasn't a plan for it, but of course it can be used for that. But no, I wasn't the original plan for it.
Wow, a cardiologist. So now I see the little mousetrap with the heart. So that's interesting. And so you plan a heart surgeon. Wow. Now wait a minute. Now we got to do the whole show all over. Well, we love your book, The Sun in Her Eyes. Certainly can't wait to read it. Sounds like a very, very powerful book. I can't wait from such a dynamic young woman who has been writing since age 9, has written many, many, many short stories, has written at least one story that got the attention of her parents and teachers and had them worried. So you must be able to make it sound so real. And that's what people love most about stories, is that I heard that you have this awesome gift to pull the reader in. So apparently you pulled your mom in. Well, you showed her that, and you pulled your teachers in. And thank God they didn't pull the psychologist and everybody else in.
Oh, my God.
sit this girl down and talk to her. But wonderful. So you got that going on, The Sun in Her Eyes, an awesome book that a person can go to your blog, TooYoungForLove.com. The number 2, young, the number 4, LUV.com. I love it. You have many links there on your page, and people can also they can make comments on some of the articles and things that you write about. They can really experience the work and the writing of Camry Moore. That's Camry, Camry, almost like the car.
Yes, it's exactly like the car.
Oh, exactly like the car. Do you like Camrys?
I don't know where that came from, to be honest.
Camry,
I don't know where that name
Moore.
Came from.
Well, it's a beautiful name, and it's certainly different. I don't think I've ever met a person named Camry. So your mom was very prophetic in that, because of all that you're doing. It's nice to have a name that's different. Because people can easily recognize you, you know. It's not a name that they've ever heard before. They're going to remember, what's her name? Camry. Yeah, I like the car. Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
People say, hi, my name is Camry. You know, like the car? And so I do that when people, my name is Little Lisa. I say to people, Little Lisa, like Little Kim. And most people do exactly what you just did. They laugh. But so wait a minute, cardiologist, we have a couple minutes. Tell me about that. I mean, you're going to be a heart surgeon. Congratulations.
Thank you. I've always been kind of intrigued by that human innards and organs. At first, I was going to be a cardiothoracic surgeon, which would also include the organs in the thorax, but I kind of just swayed off from that after my mom went through this thing with her heart. So then I just wanted to be a cardiologist. But it all started, like, probably around when I was 8 or 9. I watched this movie called Awake. I've had ever heard of it when the guy's, like, he's supposed to be having surgery and supposed to be under anesthesia, but it doesn't go completely through, so he can feel everything that they're doing when he's getting his heart surgeon, his heart.
I think I remember that.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, my God, I was amazed by that show. Started there, and then I started watching the show, Hopkins, about the heart surgeons and stuff, and then from then it just...
Wow. So, well, we wish you all the success in that and all your endeavors, and, wow, that is awesome, awesome. So you have two powerful things going, an African-American heart surgeon and author and teen author. Okay, so... that is so awesome. And the book, The Sun in Her Eyes, you can get her book. They can order your book right here, I believe. Yes, buy Camry's book. You can get her book right here on the on her page, I believe, right, Camry? They can get it right there?
Okay.
You can buy the book. You can get it from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get, I'm sure they can go into any bookstore and they can ask for the book. Yes, The Sun in Her Eyes.
Please do that. Ask for it, because then they'll want to buy one, hopefully.
Exactly.
Enough people ask for it.
Sure, sure. Go in any bookstore and ask for the book, The Sun in Her Eyes by Camry Moore, M-O-O-R-E, Camry Moore. Well, Camry, we thank you so much for coming to the show today. We thank you for telling us about
thank you yourself,
your book. Wow, I feel like, you know, I know a lot about Camry. The teen author, just in the 10th grade, has written and published her first book, The Sun in Her Eyes, and you can get the book on her site, which is www.tooyoungforlove.com. And if you put that in Google, if you can't remember how it's spelled, like she said, any way you put it in, it's going to come up. You'll see the book. It is a light blue cover with the sun, and you can see the title from afar. So, The Sun in Her Eyes. And get that book. Support this young person who's doing big things. Get the book. All of you parents, grandparents, who's ever raising a teen, please, I beg you, I urge you to get this book for your teen daughter. Don't wait until it's too late. Get it for your 7th graders, at least. By age grade 7, they're all ready and prepared to fall in love. Well, before they do, they need to read this book, and so they can do. So, as Camry said, they can have the right kind of boom, right? I think we got a new tag for you, Camry. Get the right boom. So, all right, Camry, again, thank you so much for coming. Thank you, and much, much, much success to you and your book. People, I will continue to mention you and your book because you've been on the show to let people know that you were here, and I'll continue to promote your book, and also with any groups that I meet, I'll tell the young people in my church about it and the other youth groups that I'm a part of. I think you're very delightful, and you've been a real blessing.
Thank you. So have you.
Oh, no, you're welcome. You're welcome. So you have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you, thank you. That's what's Camry Moore, everyone. You can connect with her on Facebook. You can connect with her on the web. She has a website. You can go to tooyoungforlove.com. Tell your young people about this teen who has released her power just in the 10th grade, wrote this powerful novel, over 200 pages of an incredible story. Go and read. Let's get our youth into reading. A perfect time for this book to be out is the summer. So some of our youth, they don't have anything to do, and they need something to do. I think if you get them this book, let them begin a discussion, I think that you will keep them busy for the summer. They won't get in trouble. And by the time September rolls around, their skills will even be more enhanced because they will have done something positive over. And when September gets back, they'll be ready to go to school and enroll with their education and not just there to see who they can meet up with. And so this is, I think, a perfect strategic on the parts of whomever was your publisher or your manager to guide you to write the book and let it come out right now. This is a perfect, perfect time. What a nice summer read. Congratulations to you, Camry.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's it, everyone. We thank you for tuning in, and have an awesome, awesome, powerful, powerful weekend. If you're doing something great, don't forget, share it with a friend. Share it on our Facebook page. Let us know what you're doing. Again, we want to say hello to Patricia Martin, who's traveling on the train, going down somewhere. She's on the train. I know where she's going, but she's on the train. She's having a good time, everybody. Well, this has been the Coach Lalisa Show, and we'll see you back next week.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. But we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great, it's been real, it's been awesome, and you gotta keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move, and this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.